At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Before we get started, just a quick note to say that some of the names in this podcast have been changed to protect their identities, but the stories you are about to hear are very real indeed. Please check the episode show notes for trigger warnings, as listener discretion is advised.
If you'd like to share your story on the Affair podcast, please email our wonderful producers on affair@curvemedia.com.
Welcome to The Affair Podcast. I'm Anna Williamson. Now, if you don't know me, I'm a relationship therapist, coach, and TV personality. Now, this podcast will unveil the secrets behind modern day affairs as we explore everything from emotional affairs to rebuilding trust after betrayal. 1 in 5 people have admitted to having an affair, but it's a topic that is rarely explored and remains taboo because it sparks such powerful emotions and judgments. Each episode features a different real-life affair story told by the people involved and offers insights into the emotions, causes, and consequences of infidelity in today's world. From the motivations behind affairs to the impact on relationships, we'll uncover the raw truth behind one of the most painful aspects of human relationships. So, without further ado, let's meet today's guest. Sam, welcome to the Affair Podcast.
Thank you.
Now, how are you feeling joining me for what is going to be a pretty in-depth chat about all things infidelity? And also, what made you want to come on my pod?
I think I'm feeling slightly nervous. But I think for me, it'll be good to just sit and talk about something that was such a big part of my life that no one ever really talks about, especially not, you know, from start to finish. It's just never really been done. So I think it'll be nice to kind of get it off my chest.
I love that. So what you're going to talk about, this is something you're saying you've never actually been able to properly vocalise from start to finish.
Yeah. So my dad had an affair growing up over quite a long period of time.
Right.
It was, honestly, even now, like this affair started nearly 20 years ago. And even now, I still think it was the worst thing that ever happened. Like, it was such a traumatic thing for not just my mum, but me and my brother as well.
And this is why I'm really grateful to you coming on to talk about this, because typically when my guests come on, they come at this perspective of infidelity from the trifecta, the triangle, you know, the person who's had the affair, the person who's been cheated on, and the affair person. But this is a very different perspective. This is actually a fourth perspective that we've not yet unpacked on this podcast until today. And actually, thank you for coming forward to share your story, because I had so many messages from people who said, what about being a kid or being the child of a parent who's had an affair? You know, so let's get stuck in. So growing up, what was your family life like?
Honestly, ideal. Like, I had a really, really good childhood. My dad had his own business, so we did, you know, money-wise, like, it was fine. We had nice holidays. Like, very social. My family were very much had like an open door policy. It was parties and stuff all the time. Very like happy childhood. Couldn't really have asked for anything better.
And what was your, wouldn't you remember, you know, what was your parents' relationship like?
I think as a child, I thought they were absolutely fine, and you know, I would never have noticed anything. But now, looking back, now I'm married, I look back and think, I don't really remember them cuddling or kissing or very affectionate towards each other. But I'm not saying they never were, but I can't really remember them being overly affectionate.
And were they, and I can sort of relate to that a little bit, actually. You know, I don't know if that was just you know, a point in time, a generational thing, or not, possibly not. And what were they like? Did they argue, or were they quite, you know, was it quite a good temperament within the home? Just curious to get a bit of a flavor of what home life was like, really.
No, they never really argued, to be honest. They were both, my mum especially is very, very laid back. She would get annoyed with my dad, you know, but I can't really recall them having a proper argument. Like, I would say me and my husband probably argue more than they ever did. I can't really recall it being a problem. I didn't realize that they had any problems in their marriage, to be fair. I was so shocked when it come out that my dad had been having an affair, and that everybody was, to be honest.
Okay, so take us to that moment then. So sounds like a lovely childhood. Were you a happy child?
Yeah, very much so. And I remember it well. I was at my best friend's house, and I was about 15, I think, at the time. And I remember saying to her, "I'm sure my dad's having an affair." And she was like, "What do you mean?" And I said, "I've just got this gut feeling, and I mean, he had his own business, so he was always on his phone. But more than ever, he seemed to be texting on his phone, not just taking calls. And he was going out for long walks with the dog on his own, and just something seemed off. And I'd thought he was acting strange. And I remember saying to her, I left the house and said, I'm going to go home and I'm going to just have a chat with my mom. Obviously, I was only like a teenager at the time. And I walked in the house and it was like World War III. And I just remember walking in, my dad sat on a kitchen chair crying, and my mum was stood over him with a wine bottle in her hand, ready to smash it over his head. And let me, if you knew my mum, she wouldn't hurt a fly. She's the most placid, lovely person. And I just walked in and I just knew, like instantly knew it was all true, what I thought was true, and it had all kicked off. It was awful.
Oh my giddy aunt. I mean, that sounds horrendous, not only to have to witness, but to sort of deal with. So when you came home, were you coming home to actually do anything with that suspicion? Were you going to confront your dad about it?
I was going to speak to my mum. I just wanted to speak to my mum and just say, I feel like dad's been acting a bit strange. Me and my mum were really close. I was, to be honest, really close with both of them. But I felt like my mum was a little bit sad, and I felt like it was something off with her. And I said, I'm going to go home. I'm going to chat with my mum and just say, like, dad's been acting a bit strange. I feel like he's always on his phone. And I didn't have to have the conversation with her because when I got back, she'd found out. I think it was just a very strange coincidence that I'd been thinking of it for like a couple of weeks or something. And I think she'd seen something on his phone. And I think that's how it all came out. I mean, this was nearly 20 years ago. It was quite a long time ago.
How did you feel in that moment? Because you've just explained from that, you know, from that moment leading up to that, you know, life was quite chill. It sounds quite relaxed. It sounds like your parents were kind of quite measured emotionally. That must have been a real shock.
I honestly, without sounding too dramatic, I think that moment, my life was never the same. I quickly grew up. And from then, I have had the worst. I mean, I'm a lot better now, but for a very, very long time, the worst anxiety. And I know it was all triggered back from these horrible moments. Like, this was just the first time. There's like other scenarios like this.
To witness that, I can only imagine must have been absolutely devastating and triggered everything in you. And I'm not surprised why, as you say, as an adult, you know, did you say as an adult you've experienced anxiety?
Literally from that day.
Just want to check in now. Do you feel okay talking about it now? Because I'm aware that going back to those moments and those feelings can conjure up those emotions.
Yeah, I feel a little bit teary.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm okay.
Okay, well, just to reassure you that tears are good, okay? Tears are a very positive way of letting out our anxiety, which is stress, okay? It's stress and it's emotion. So if you do feel tearful, then please feel, you know, in a comfortable, safe space to allow that emotion just to be. All right, this is your space for us to unpack it, and I don't underestimate for a moment how painful and triggering it can be to go back there. But my hope for you is that after we have discussed it, because as you say, you've never talked about it from start to finish,
you know, I'm hoping you will find some catharsis in that. And just to reassure you that I'm here to hold you in that space, because I know it's painful. And I've had a lot of people that have messaged me in similar situations to you. What happened next in that moment? You've walked in, you've seen this scene in front of you. Straight away, you've put two and two together. How did you have that confirmed?
My mum told me. So my dad was just sat crying and he was just saying he was sorry. And she was just going psychotic. She then she went and threw up. She was like physically made her sick. And it was awful. It was just days and weeks of them both crying. And you know, it was just that such an uncertain time of not knowing what was going to happen. And I think being the age I was, it was like you was so involved. You know, like I always think if I was, I don't know, a younger child, you wouldn't be as emotionally as involved. But because you're that bit older, you kind of have that bit more of a like friendship almost with your parents, I think, at that age. And then obviously my mom was, they'd kind of decided after, I don't know however long, maybe a week or so, that they were going to try and make it work, and they didn't want people knowing. So then that was fine, but I then became my mum's person that she spoke to. Mm-hmm. So everything she was feeling was offloaded onto me. So then I was like so young dealing with all that. Yeah.
In that moment, and a lot of young people are unfortunately put in that position by their parents. This is no shade on your folks at all. Yeah. This is me holding the 15-year-old you. The first thing to do is to not bring your children into that, because people like yourselves wear those scars and carry that burden, you know, into their adult life. You know, in that moment that your mum was saying your dad's done this, you know, how does she describe it? And how did you respond?
I can feel it now, like very unnerving and very kind of, your whole world has been flipped upside down. You don't know what's going to happen next. You don't know if they're going to stay. You know, like in your mind, you're thinking, are they going to stay together? Are we going to have to move house? Are we going to, all these different things. And I kind of remember my mum making it a thing of like, look what he's done to us as a family. Not just her. So then the anger like I felt towards him, and that obviously he don't love me very much, and you know what, why would he want to hurt us all, and that's how I looked at it for a very long time, that it wasn't just something between him and my mom, it was between, you know, me and my brother as well. Like I felt like we weren't enough for him.
And when your mum said that, you know, that she used the us, you know, look what he's done to us, you know, and she was very, very hurt, very, very bruised. Did your dad hear her say that?
Yeah. My dad was a very emotional person anyway. And I just remember him just constantly crying and just constantly apologizing. He'd never do it again. And he desperately didn't want us to, you know, separate. He didn't want my mum to move out or him to move out. He wanted us all to stay together.
So the woman, I mean, the big elephant in the room, your dad's had or having an affair at this point?
So he was having an affair. And then
So it was ongoing at this point?
There was numerous affairs.
Oh, wow. Did you know that at the time?
No. At the time, it was just this one person.
So who was this person and how did your mum find out about it?
She found something on his phone. She found a message or something on his phone. And then it all got called off. It was all finished. They were staying together. They were making it work. And then it happened again with a different person.
Oh, wow. So, wowzers. Okay, so back it up. So this woman, how long had he been having the affair? Did you know who she was? Did your mum know who she was?
No, nobody knew. They met at an event. Like, I think just kind of he'd gone with a group of his friends and got chatting to a group of women, that kind of situation. But no, she wasn't. She didn't live anywhere near us or anything. So nobody knew who she was. I actually think now that there was a few different times that she broke it off with him. That definitely happened, but I can't remember which occasion. And she broke it off with him and said, she actually said she had a brain tumour and she was dying and she didn't want to be with him anymore.
Did she have a brain tumour?
No.
Damn.
Then it happened again, maybe a few months later. My mum found out again. This was with a different person. And the second person was an absolute nightmare. She was like just set out to, she was desperate for my mum and dad to split up completely. And I think this is the thing, the ongoing sort of, that I can never get my head around, was that my dad never wanted my mum and dad to split up. He never did. This started when I was 15, and me and my mom moved out of the family home when I was 18. So for 3 years, it was him trying to keep my mom. And I remember even when me and my mom had moved out, he was still coming around and still trying to win her back, but still seeing other people.
Wow. And this was an open thing now at this point, you know, that he was seeing other people, but still wanted to be married to your mum.
Yeah, like he was just like, I think he didn't want me and my brother to not live with him, if I'm honest. But right. He was still telling my mum he loved her and they could make it work. But at this point, my mum had absolutely checked out. Like she was just like, no way. We've tried for years.
And was any of this ever discussed with you and your brother? Like, were you brought into any of these conversations around what was going on? You were. So what, can you tell us a little bit about that?
I think because we knew from day dot, like they had this absolute almighty blowout. So we knew exactly what was going on. And my mum was very, very open and she would tell us everything that she'd found, the messages, like what they'd said. And
what, she'd give you the details.
Yeah.
How did you feel hearing the details?
Disgusting.
Would you have rather she didn't tell you?
Looking back now, I would rather have not known. But I think at the time I was so involved, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't. Do you know, it was like I wanted to know everything anyway, because I never felt like I knew what was coming next. So I just distinctly remember having this massive fear that my mum was going to leave. That was my really, really big fear. And I used to think, God, my dad has worn her down so much. She was like a completely different person. And I used to think, she's just going to leave. And I remember her saying to me sometimes when she was crying things like, I just want to run away. And I used to like be like, please don't leave, mum. Please don't leave me here. Like, don't leave me. And she was like, no, you know, no, of course I'd never leave you. I just always, I think that was the proper anxiety triggering thing. It was that like, I was just going to come home and she'd have gone. Like she'd have just had enough. And I kind of think like, you can understand it, Kat. You can understand someone just thinking I've had enough. Now, as a mum myself, I know I would never go out and leave my kids, but I couldn't understand that at the time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And as a child, because you were a child, for me as a therapist, absolutely, that is a key moment that embedded the anxiety, because the fight or flight kicked in. It definitely did for your mum. She's like, you know, do I say, I don't doubt how desperate she was feeling in that moment, and absolutely no judgment of what she was going through. But for you, and I think this is the importance and how powerful words can be, particularly when they're from your caregivers, even in that moment, you know, oh, I just want to run away. You then internalize that as, shit, I possibly now can't rely on my mum. So what happened next then? So your mum sounds like she's a bit, you know, a bit done, but your dad had managed to kind of keep it together. Your mum must have obviously acknowledged that she wanted to stay with your dad. But do you think it was, I mean, were they actively trying to be together, or do you think it was just together as in under the same roof and nothing more?
I think initially they were trying. There was like still sort of going out with friends and trying to do a nice thing. And then I remember we booked a really big family holiday, like all the family going. It was a really big trip. And we were going to Florida. And I think there was like 10 of us going. There was quite a lot of us. And this was like a kind of, for them, I think a make or break situation. Like everyone was so excited, so looking forward to it. And then the night before we went on holiday, my mum got a phone call on the house phone. You know, people don't really have house phones now, do they? She got a phone call on the house phone. She said this, it was a lady on the phone, and she just said, ring this restaurant. Your husband is in there having a meal with someone else. So my mum rang the restaurant and said, have you got a table booked? It's the name. And sure enough, they did. So that was the night before we were going on holiday. Oh God, I can't even tell you how horrendous. Like, I don't think anyone. So then when he came home, it was like bang, World War III again. And I don't think anyone slept that night because there was just arguing, there was crying. And we was like, do we go? Do we not go? Do we tell our family who we're going with? And what we decided to do was go and tell no one what had happened.
All of you?
Mm-hmm. So, like, me and my mom and my brother and my dad all went and played Happy Families on this holiday for 2 weeks with the rest of our family, knowing that this whole thing had started again, and we all had to just pretend it was fine. It was awful.
How does that actually, like, play out? Like, so that sounds horrific. And this is a different woman, a new woman. Nobody knew who this woman was?
No, this was someone. She lived a bit closer. She was like more local, but nobody knew. I don't even know how we'd met her, to be honest. But she was then just absolutely really nasty to my mum. And then when we came back from the holiday, like, things carried on. And I was a bit older then. And I had a little job in a shop, and she came into my work when she knew I was there and said, your mum's going to kill herself.
What? This woman? So is your dad still having an affair with this woman?
I don't know if he was at the time. I actually think he'd called it off with her, to be honest. And I think this was her way of kind of getting back at him.
Right.
But she told me that my mom had told my dad she was going to kill herself because she was obviously so depressed, and she was giving it all like, you know, your dad doesn't want to be with your mom. Your dad wants to be with me. Your mom's going to kill herself because she's so depressed, blah, blah, blah.
So she came into your, and you'd never met her before?
No, I never met her before. And I was a teenager. I was like 16.
Seriously, adults have a lot to answer for, right? So this woman who is clearly carrying all her own emotion around this has come into your shop. You've never met her. And she's projected, I'm just going to call it for what it is, this absolute, utterly awful crap at you, whether it's true or not. No child should ever hear that about their parents, certainly not from a third party that you've never met and is involved in all of this cycle of crap anyway. How the hell did you respond in that moment, and what did you do next?
I think that was probably the night I had my first ever panic attack.
Oh, babe.
Yeah, so overwhelming. And I, where I worked and where I lived was really close. And I don't know if I ran home or if I just rang my mum. And she came and she like reassured me that she'd never said that. And it was like a load of rubbish. And this woman was just trying to upset me, blah, blah, blah. She was trying to ring my mum and be really horrible and say, you know, your husband doesn't want to be with you, wants to be with me. And then I think that then made my dad realise that this woman was a psychopath and that he did call it off with her. So then that finished. And then it happened again.
With a different woman?
With the first woman who was dying with a brain tumour, who never actually died.
Okay, bring us up to speed. I mean, oh my giddy aunt.
They did actually end up getting married.
Who did?
My dad and the first woman.
And the non-brain tumor woman. Oh my gosh. Right. Okay. So then first woman number one is she's back in the, on the scene. And again, is everybody aware of this when it's happening, or is it all underground?
It obviously was an affair again, and then we found out, but that was kind of the final straw for my mum. Then we moved out, and like I say, they did end up staying together, and they ended up getting married. But she didn't live where we are. She lived quite far away, about an hour and a half away. So there was a long period of time where she was living there, my dad was living here, and I don't know what he was doing. Well, I have an idea what he was doing. But yeah, they did end up getting married.
This is an advertisement from Hair and Me. Now, did you know that over 50% of women will experience hair loss at some point in their lives? It's something that we just don't talk about enough. Whether it's hormone changes, stress, or lifestyle shifts, it can really impact how we feel about ourselves. Now, I've been really open about experiencing hair loss myself after giving birth, so I know through other conversations that I've had that I am not alone. And that's where Hair and Me comes in. It's an award-winning online service built by dermatologists and hair experts to help prevent and reverse hair thinning and get you back to feeling your best. Your treatment is tailor-made for your unique hair type, genetics, and lifestyle, with clinically proven active ingredients that actually work. Plus, you'll get ongoing support from hair regrowth experts to keep you on track. Now, you can start seeing thicker, fuller hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. And the best part? It's super easy to get started. Just go to hairandme.com and use the code AFFAIR to get started for just £4.99. That's hairandme.com, code AFFAIR. Please note, treatment subject to dermatological assessment. What was he doing?
I remember leave it was my graduation from uni, and he'd been, and it was that awkward. I'd graduated uni, so obviously my mum and dad had split up at this point. And my mum was with me in my car, and my dad was in his own car. And it was a very awkward graduation because things had gone from my dad being so upset to them not getting on because the divorce was then sort of in full swing. And we were driving home, and we were driving behind him, and he didn't realize. And he'd turned into this little village on his way home. And then my mum said, because my mum was still doing some work with him, my mum was like, "Oh, he's seeing a woman who lives here." So he was obviously cheating on the original woman.
Gosh, it's just, yeah, prolific, isn't it?
My dad just seemed to, it just seemed to be a different person. And like the lies seemed to come so easily. And he seemed almost lost. And my mum was just a shell of who she was. Like she got quite poorly. She was definitely depressed. I was meant to move out and go to uni, and I just couldn't leave her. There was no way I could go. So I took like a year out, and then I reapplied for uni, and I went closer so I could still live with my mum. And sometimes I look back and think I was robbed a bit of that life that all my friends got that I never did because of, I mean, it is what it is and it's fine, but
It doesn't sound fine. I think you're very generous and you're right to make peace with that. And it sounds as though you have, but it's also perfectly okay to validate that in that moment, that was anything but fine. That had then lasting effects on your choices for education, you know, where you wanted to live, how you want, you know, I can hear you and your brother just clinging on and trying to make some sort of sense out of the whole situation and essentially moving into the role, which often happens, of the kids becoming the grown-ups in the relationship because the grown-ups are so consumed and blindsided by the grief and the emotions that they are dealing with that they just lose sight of what it's doing to sort of everybody else, particularly the kids. So it's okay to sit in that space and go, you know what, that wasn't fine.
Yeah, like I think now, looking back, I do feel you know, I did miss out on quite a lot of things. And I remember, like, my friends were all going on girly holidays, you know, doing what you do when you're like 18. And I could just never go, mainly because I just never felt like I could leave my mum. But I also felt my anxiety was horrendous. Like, we both needed each other as well. And this went on for years. And I lost, really, years of my teenage years because of this.
Yes, yes. You sounds as though you became codependent, you know, on each other. You need each other, you know, to an unhealthy degree, you know, which stepped over a kind of a healthy, you know, mother-daughter relationship, which I get. You know, you'd, as a family, you'd been through an enormous amount of grief and conflict and instability when it came to emotions. So what was the situation then with you? So you're living with your mom. Were you speaking to your dad? You say your dad then got married to this woman. I mean, did you meet her? Did you go to the wedding? I mean, what was going on around that time?
Yeah, so eventually my dad moved to where she lived, which was another lie, really, from my dad. My dad would always say to me that, I'll never leave. I will never move. Because I was always then worried, you know, he was going to leave. That was like my next thing. Like, oh my God, he's going to leave. As much as I'm painting such a bad picture of my dad, I absolutely love the bones of him. And me and him are so similar. And don't get me wrong, like, he was a terrible husband, but like the best dad.
And that can be perfectly possible.
Yeah. And he always used to say, I'll never move, I will never leave. And he did. He eventually moved to where she lived. They did get married. They got married after quite a long time. And she had kids as well. So, like, I remember we met her and the kids on the same day. And I couldn't say that I didn't like her. Like, she was a really nice person, I thought, at the time. You know, like, really, like, complete opposite to my mom, like, very, very loud and fussy. And my mom's very chill, very calm. But yeah, like, and my dad was happy. And that was the only kind of way I could make sense of it, of what had gone on, was that, like, maybe he was meant to be with this person. And, you know, they did end up getting married, which made me feel like some good had come out of it.
I see. So it was sort of more, I can understand that perspective, that the sort of, yeah, the grenade that went off in your family, there was some sort of longevity or purpose to it in some way, in that they became committed to each other. I can see that. Did you accept her, and did you ever have a conversation with her about it?
To be honest, no. Like, I accepted her. I never, ever had a conversation about it.
Did you want to?
Yeah, I think so. But I'm very much like, just wanted to keep the peace. Like, so much has gone on, and my dad was so happy, and I just thought, you know what, like, if two happy families are better than one sad family, do you know?
That's a very generous mindset to be in. If you, just for the purpose of what ifs, because we can do that when we have these conversations with hindsight, what would you have said to her if you ever had that opportunity?
I don't think she'll ever understand, you know, the absolute heartache and pain that she caused for me and my mom and my brother. But then I'm very much like, it wasn't just her, was it? It was my dad as well. And sometimes I think she never knew me. She never knew my mom before then. It was my dad that knew what he was doing to us. So as much as I do blame her, I'm definitely more blamed my dad.
Do you know if she was married and she was having an affair with your dad?
Yeah, she was married.
So she was having an affair on her husband with your dad.
Mm-hmm. And as far as I know, her husband never found out.
So your dad's with her, and I think there's a, you know, I very I praise you, you know, for just trying to keep him happy. You know, you were probably to your own detriment, but did you ever have a conversation with your dad about any of this and share how you were feeling?
Yeah, definitely. Like, me and my dad used to speak about it quite a lot. Like, when I was living with my mom, he would take me out for tea like once a week. It was cute, actually. He would like come pick me up, take me out. Like it was like a proper like dad daughter date. And I would speak openly to him.
What would he say to you?
Just, he was so sorry. He made a mistake, but he just used to say like, I just wasn't happy. But I used to, like, that used to really irritate me because I used to think, how can you not be happy with, like, my mom's, like, the best person? Like, what do you think, who do you think you're going to get that's better than my mom? I feel like now, as, you know, like, I've been married for 10 years and I can see that, you know, people change and things change in your relationship. And as I'm getting older, I am sort of coming to understand it now more than I ever have done.
Yeah, and actually that does sort of bring us, you know, a bit more into the present, because in just to kind of wrap up the parent situation. So your dad continued to be married to this woman. Your mum, did she find a new partner?
Yeah, my mum's actually got married a couple of years ago. Unfortunately, my dad did die.
I'm so sorry.
He got cancer and died. So now I don't really have a relationship with my stepmom. She doesn't, like I said, she doesn't live nearby. She lives quite far away, and it dwindled very quickly after my dad died.
I'm so sorry to hear that he got cancer and passed away. Throughout that time, did you ever have any reconciliation over the affairs? Did you have any further chats? Did you forgive your dad?
I can't say that I don't forgive him, because I loved him so much. I genuinely think he was maybe having a midlife crisis. I don't know. He seemed to be searching for something. He obviously wasn't happy with my mom, but just didn't have, I think he didn't want to have the conversation with her of, I'm not happy with you and I want to leave. Because my mom was like, that was never, he never said he wasn't happy. She was as shocked as anybody. And I think really it's because he didn't want to actually sit down and have that conversation with her, which he should have done. But I still say, as this makes me sound awful, but my going through my mum and dad's affair and going through my dad, like losing my dad, it was more painful going through the affair.
Wow.
And I know that's a really bold statement, and I've said it a couple of times and I think it just sounds horrendous, but maybe because I was younger, but the knock-on effect that the affair has had on me personally and my mental health has been unbelievable. Whereas obviously my dad dying was equally as awful, but I still think the trauma was worse.
And it doesn't sound horrendous at all. And thank you for being really brave and honest about that. That's a very powerful emotion. And you must remember that initial moment, you had had a pretty chirpy, happy, unscathed childhood until the point where you discovered your dad had had the affair, and it was explosive. So every single part of your body, brain, everything just went into complete and that trauma is lasting. And also in that moment, you were grieving. So a breakdown of a relationship of our parents, you know, all of that is grief. It's loss, it's bereavement. It was a big shock. And we know that shock has a profound impact on us. So it actually does make sense. And it doesn't sound horrendous, because actually you've experienced loss and grief in varying ways with different circumstances and scenarios.
Yeah. And I do say as well, like trying to kind of look on the bright side of a very, very sad situation, that, you know, you have to find the positive, that if my mum and dad were still together and my dad had got cancer and died, I don't know how she would have ever coped. Mm-hmm. And in the situation where, when my dad's died, my mum by then was like with someone else, very happy and very much out of the relationship with my dad, she was then my rock in that situation. So like going through my grief when my dad died, she was just there to support me. Whereas if they'd still been together, again, it would have been me supporting her. And I think that's really helped me.
Yes, you've had some separation. As you say, I think you are, I think you have a tremendous outlook actually and mindset, because you really do tease out the positives. And well done for that. And that's a coping strategy, and rightly so. What could your parents have done differently, better? What advice would you give for any parents that are listening to this, or anyone else that's been through divorced parents as a result of infidelity? What learnings have you taken from this?
I think the big one is that no matter how old your kids are, they don't want to be involved. They shouldn't be involved. You know, I very much was asking my mum all the time what's going on. I really wanted to be in the picture. She was really using me as like as a support, when really I needed the support and then I didn't have anyone. And I think, you know, if you can just keep kids out of the picture, then that's what you need to do.
Because the impact is?
Well, it lasts years, as I found out.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And then bringing it up to kind of where we are now. And I think this is possibly a bit of a sort of mini grenade, because one would assume that you have very strong opinions around infidelity, having been a child that has gone through the mill of parents that have, you know, been involved in it. Your dad, you know, cheated on multiple occasions. So one would think you're really against infidelity, and yet, and I think this is really brave of you, you've perhaps got a slightly different perspective now.
Yeah, so me and my husband have been together a long time. He actually met me in the throes of this whole, like, me and my mum had just moved out. He knows everything that's gone on. I was 18 when we met. So we've been together a really long time. And I think probably since losing my dad, me and him have had a really tough couple of years, really tough couple of years, whereas we've talked numerous times of like, maybe we should split up. I don't think this is going to work. And there has been occasions where I've thought to myself, if somebody came along and showed me some interest, I would have jumped at the chance.
Wow.
And it was like a light bulb moment for me of, I understand that you can be unhappy in a relationship and you do think to yourself, like, is this it? Is this me for the rest of my life? And we've got kids and I'm the same. I don't want to split up. We've got two young children. But if somebody came who I thought was going to make me happier, I haven't had an affair. But
your mindset has taken you into the possibilities of how that could happen.
Yeah, definitely. It's made me see it from a completely different perspective. And I feel like I almost needed that, though, like that little bit of understanding. And I so wish that I could have a conversation with my dad now and say, like, I do get it. I don't agree that you did the right thing, dragging out for years and years, but I can understand that feeling of almost feeling stuck in a marriage that you feel like is just a dead end.
Right. Right. So what stopped you and what has stopped you having an affair?
Definitely my kids. Definitely. Like, I could not put my children through what I went through. But selfishly, I've thought, like, oh, that, you know, that could be exciting if someone else came along. And like I say, we've been together a long time. And obviously the honeymoon phase was a very, very long time ago. And sometimes I feel like we're friends.
Mm-hmm.
We're not husband and wife. We've we've gone through some very, very rocky times. We're like a little bit better now. We are quite open. We argue a lot. And like, that's kind of, all our friends will be like, oh, you know, they're always arguing. We do argue a lot, but we're quite similar.
And I think it's a really important thing to bring up, actually, because we do evolve. We all change, and relationships need to be constantly worked on. We need to prioritize each other. We need to listen to each other. And I get it. You know, when we're that familiar with one person, you know, we're passing ships a lot of the time. We often lose sight of the one person who's always in our eye line. And prioritizing your relationship is really important. And showing each other that you care, that you're there to listen. So we need to give it a bit of a kickstart. And I would love you, if you were open to it, once we finish this episode, is to have a real think about what you love about your husband, as in the qualities that he has, what he gives you. And I would even encourage you to open this conversation up to him if you feel comfortable, and asking him back, you know, what do you love about me? You know, what are my best qualities? And some of the best exercises I do with couples is, particularly if they have got to this sort of stale, stagnant point. And as you say, very bravely thinking, I can understand how affairs happen now, actually, having been a child of, parents who had an affair, and I know the devastation it causes. I'm choosing to not, which is great. I hear your kids are that motivation for not having an affair. But what I really would encourage you and your husband to do is to really work on each other, you know, and actually prioritizing each other and what your relationship gives you for you not wanting to go elsewhere. Sam, well, thank you so much for sharing everything that you shared. And, you know, I think we can all feel the absolute turmoil and devastation that you've been through. And many people can identify with that. As I say, I had so many people asking for this perspective because I know it myself, you know, blast zone around me is pretty close with people I know that are very close to me that have also been in your position. And nobody is left unscathed, but we can learn from these situations. And all we can do is make our own choices about what we do moving forwards and in our own lives. And it sounds like something that's very, very, you're very aware of now with your own choices. We can't change the past, but we can very much direct our own future. What would you say you've learned from this whole experience?
I think now it's made me, I would say, like, I'm a very strong person now, partly because of losing my dad, and obviously anxiety's been horrendous. But yeah, I think it's just made me quite a tough cookie, to be honest.
Yeah, I can tell there's a lot of resilience in you. What would you like other people to take away from this episode?
Just, you know, be mindful of especially children in a relationship. And sometimes, even if the excitement of an affair does sound exciting and enticing, you've got to look at the bigger picture. And when this family's evolved, it's not always worth it, is it?
Well said.
Yeah.
Sam, thank you. Thank you for joining me on The Affair. Thank you for sharing everything you have. And I just wish you and your family all the very best for the future.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to The Affair podcast. If you've been affected by any of the issues raised in today's episode, please see the show notes for organisations who can offer support and advice. Don't forget to subscribe so you are the first to know when a brand new episode drops. But until then, I'm Anna Williamson, and this has been The Affair. This podcast is a Curve Sounds production.